Welcome back. I'm excited to talk about some smooth criminals in the Criminal Syndicate. My name is Kenny, and welcome to the Gamers Guild. All right, so we're going to talk about Kingpin's Criminal Syndicate tonight, and with me, I have got the one and only Sooner. How are you tonight, man?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm excited. It's been a little bit since I put criminals on the table, but they're a fun affiliation and a very powerful affiliation if leveraged appropriately. So figured we'd jump right in. Do you want to talk about Kingpin for us and his leadership?
Yeah, so Kingpin is a fourth threat leader of the Criminal Syndicate. Obviously, the big thing on his card is his leadership. His leadership is whenever they are securing a crisis, they count as two instead of one. That is, I think, universally thought of as one of the most powerful leaderships in the game. It is really, really good. There's a second part to that where once per turn, when an allied character activates, it can spend two power and it can move an asset or a civilian to another allied character within three. So another kind of cheeky little scenario play that you can do. As you can see, both of these parts of the leadership, and I'm sorry, I said securing. It's as long as they're healthy, an allied character contesting an objective token counts as two healthy characters.
Yes.
But it's, it's heavily, heavily leaning towards scenario play, which I think, you know, we'll probably go over is Criminal Syndicate's bread and butter. They want secures that you can sit on and count as two, and it makes it very hard to beat them in the scenario game.
Yeah, he's a boss, so just put a bunch of really tanky characters who can soak in a lot of damage or block a lot of damage, and you'll probably have a pretty good time with Kingpin and his Criminal Syndicate. And, you know, he has his intense physical conditioning, so anytime he would take damage, he can pay a power and reduce that damage by one. So very thematic leader, I think, for this leadership.
Yeah, definitely. And he's a very good character. It's kind of funny because I think everybody thinks this Kingpin as being very good, but yet he really never sees any play outside of Criminal Syndicate. There's a few reasons for that. We'll talk about the reasons he is real good. He has a very good throw. It's just two power. And he can throw size three or less. He can throw characters or terrain. That is a very good throw. And then he has
one of the medium too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then one of the best spenders in the game, Hail to the King. Basically, after the attack is resolved, they get staggered. And then if they're size three or less and he damage, I don't even think he has to damage. He gets to throw the character.
Yep.
So that's a very, very, I mean, anytime you're auto staggering and auto throwing, that's just super powerful. So he's got some really good things. His weaknesses, if you're playing against a Kingpin, displacement. He is brutally hurt by displacement. If you can throw him away, if you can push him away, he's a slow movement and he has no economy in his actions to get back and do stuff other than do his throw. One of his other weaknesses is power generation. A lot of times he can struggle to get the power. He wants to spend his power on intense physical conditioning so he doesn't get damaged and he stays on his healthy side. So sometimes you can kind of power starve him out and that really hurts him. But overall, really good character and top-notch leadership ability.
Yeah, he is probably my favorite leader in the game. No, I have Doctor Strange.
Those are some strong words, Kenny.
Please edit this out. No, Doctor Strange is my favorite leader in the game. Kingpin's probably my second favorite. Just because I think as far as like characters and matching like the theme you see them in comics and TV shows and media, like he's probably one of the best adaptations into MCP I think we have.
Yeah, I agree. He's very thematic. He's very fun on the table. I really enjoyed it. I played them in season 3 of TTS, and I enjoyed my time playing them. I really did.
That's Kingpin. Who did you bring for us as far as a character pack? And it's kind of hard because there's not really any like dual pack criminal syndicate characters for us to pick and choose from. So we really got to just pick one, and maybe the character outside of that have a little flavor for us.
Yeah, the criminal syndicates are kind of spread out throughout the packs. There's no real a lot of multi criminal syndicate packs, but the one I chose was Mysterio. It's Mysterio and Carnage. Carnage is Spider Foes affiliated, not criminal syndicate, but Mysterio is a great criminal syndicate member. He is surprisingly hard to kill, even though, you know, you look at his defenses and say, oh, I just have to spend 2 power and I can murder him. He's actually very hard to kill. He is deceptively fast. What I mean by is he's extremely slow character. He has a slow movement on a small base. But he has lots of things he can do, namely tricks and traps to get more movement. And it's out of activation movement, which is extremely powerful. So although he is very slow in getting to where he wants to go, sometimes he can really pull some real good tricks of moving around the table, which is fitting to Mysterio because that's what he does.
Yeah, I played a game with Mysterio once, and like a Moon Knight was trying to chase him down the entire game, and he just kept hitting the tricks and traps and running away. And with stealth, it's really, really annoying to try and catch him potentially if he's running away with like a hammer or something else.
Yeah. Yeah, he's cool. He's a cool character. He's got mystic attacks, which, or can be very powerful in Marvel Crisis Protocol. He has a stagger on his spender. Spenders are always really good. He also can throw on his spender if they are size 2 or less. So he's got just a lot of cool cool little tricks in his bag. I keep going back to the word tricks because he's really... really not like anybody else in the game, which is cool. He has stealth, so you can't just shoot him off the table. So he's just a really good character. He, again, is a hard character to remove, which is a good criminal syndicate character. He can also displace characters, which, you know, criminal syndicates trying to play the scenario game. So anytime you can displace, I think that's a strong character.
Yeah, I think so. His displacement is fun. Just got to get that damage on a 4 dice builder. But it happens more often than I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting that damage in. It's, you know, being able to do the spender and get damage. But, you know, that's a lot of characters. That's part of the game.
Yep.
And when it does that, you cry like a little baby and... get in a fetus position.
The Merzane approach. Just kidding. He doesn't do that at all. I just like poking at him. I'll talk about my box now. My box is the Hood and Dr. Voodoo box. I'll talk about Hood first because he's actually a member of the Criminal Syndicate. Now, where you were talking about Mysterio and having some displacement for the syndicates, Hood doesn't really offer any of that, but he's another tanky character who can potentially roll in on his normal side, because he has the normal and possessed side. He can pay 2 power to roll his mystic defense and count some blanks, which blanks are very good. Defensive tech, very good to keep characters alive. And also on his normal side, he can pay 3 to choose an allied character within 3 and heal them 3 damage. And if they do, they just get bleed. But again, going with the leadership and wanting to keep characters on their healthy side to double count for contesting objectives, being able to heal them is very beneficial to just keeping that, I guess, lifespan going. On his possessed side, he also has the demonic resilience, which whenever he would suffer damage, he can reduce the amount suffered by 2 to a minimum of 1. So again, just trying to stay alive with Kingpin's leadership. Very, very fun character to put on the table. Strong attacks, lots of mystic. And then on his possessed side, he has a 6 die builder, which is pretty strong for a 3 threat character.
Yeah, I love Hood. I love his inclusion in Criminal Syndicate. If I was to go back and play Criminal Syndicate in a tournament or something like that, I mean, Hood would be no doubt, no brainer. He would be part of my core. I'd pretty much probably play him every game. I just think he's a very good character. He, like you said, I mean, he's not the most survivable character, but he's not necessarily easy to kill. But I mean, just the heal in Criminal Syndicate is fantastic. Keeps those tanky characters alive a little longer. And he can pump out some damage if he really gets rolling. So great character. A lot of fun to play. A little tricky to play with all his going from normal to possessed and things like that. But a lot of fun. And fits really well with Criminal Syndicate.
Yeah, he does. And then Dr. Voodoo, I know we didn't really touch on Carnage in your box because he's not the best member to throw in with this Criminal Syndicate, but Dr. Voodoo is a character that can fit well with this Criminal Syndicate. He can roll a ton of defensive dice if he has his brother Daniel token on him, or if you want, he can put the brother Daniel token on one of your opponent's characters and make them not count for contesting or holding any kind of objectives at all. So let's say you have 2 characters on an objective and your opponent has 2 and you have 1. Well, now Voodoo can just brother Daniel that one of those characters and the point is yours. Really fun in Criminal Syndicate. I didn't get to try it out when I was playing them, but I think if I were to go back, he'd be a pretty easy include there.
Yeah, I mean, it's Voodoo, right? I mean, Voodoo is the top 4 threat character in the game right now. We don't really need to cover it much, right? I mean, everybody knows, everybody's heard. It's been talked about nonstop. I mean, the guy's really good. His possession mechanic is probably a little over the top. So anytime you're playing a scenario type game plan, I mean, the guy is phenomenal.
Yep, he's the guy. Mm-hmm. What about some out of affiliation flavor? Who do you reach for when you're playing Criminal Syndicate?
Yeah, so I have one that I just absolutely adore. In Criminal Syndicate and just in general in the game, he's one of my favorite characters in the game. He's so fun to play. I just love his kit and everything about it. Well, almost everything about it. But that's Ant-Man. Ant-Man's biggest problem probably in this game is he doesn't have a great home. Sam Avengers kind of came along and gave him a little bit of a home, but there were so many affiliated good three threat characters that it's even hard to fit him in there. And unfortunately with Steve Rogers, he literally gives him nothing. So he's not very good in that. But the affiliation he really shines in for me is Criminal Syndicate. He's got insane mobility, being able to place range three pretty much every turn is just phenomenal. And then, you know, combining that with counting as two healthy characters, you can just get to spots. I mean, most people know about the first turn gamma play. I mean, the guy can get to the back gamma. So if your opponent, you know, doesn't put two people on the back gamma against Criminal Syndicate with Ant-Man, he's going to score turn one, your opponent's back gamma. And that's pretty nasty. I mean, even outside of that, I mean, he just gets to places that he wants. He's fairly survivable. I mean, he only has 5 health on both sides. But, you know, when he goes to his tiny form, getting to reroll his dice is pretty good. So he's just really fun. He's really good. Criminal Syndicate really lack in damage dealing, and Ant-Man's a pretty good damage dealer. He's got a 6 dice builder on his tiny side, and then he's got his wonderful beam on his normal side. And those are just really good attacks. It doesn't have the great builder on his normal side, but you're pretty much always going to be flipping into the tiny to do the ant size uppercut. So he's one of my favorite characters. He's a ton of fun to play, and he just synergizes well with what Criminal Syndicate want to do.
Yeah, I played a game against Criminal Syndicate last fall at some point, and it had been a little bit. And the Ant-Man gamma got me.
He can do that.
I completely forgot it existed. Double medium move, transform, place within 3. Now the gamma's his. Felt bad. But
it does. Just how it goes. It's kind of a gotcha moment. And, you know, I haven't played it in forever. But obviously, nowadays, you know, you want to make sure your opponent's aware. It's fun. It's good. But just not even that, you know, Criminal Syndicate is, nowadays, a lot of times they're going wide. Scoundrels is a big popular, scenario crisis for them at this time. And, I mean, he's good in something like that because he can get to whatever scoundrel you need him to get to score that point, he can get to. So, yeah. He's just good. He would go good in a wide list. I highly recommend people trying him because I think he's probably a character that most people just pass by and don't even, you know, give a chance, or they, you know, don't realize the stuff he can do. And he's really good in Criminal Syndicate. So he's also a lot of fun. You can't beat that.
Yeah. He's probably a pretty good power battery for them to play tactics. Like, I don't know, med pack or field dressing, depending on which ones you're playing.
Yeah, it just depends sometimes. Because he does like to use his power. Because he uses one almost every turn, if not out of activation, he uses one a lot. Because remember, like his ant size uppercut, he has to switch back to normal mode.
Yeah.
So then you have to pay one to switch back to tiny mode on defense to, you know, get all your rerolls. And then, you know, you're trying to do his spender, which is 4 power. So, I mean, he does like to use his power, but, yeah, I mean, if you're rolling good dice, 6 die builders, they can add up the power quick.
Yeah, I can see it. Well, the character I brought, I thought about bringing Juggernaut, but I think a lot of people know Juggernaut is a boss in Criminal Syndicate. So I want to talk about my boy Hulkbuster instead.
Ah, nice.
Yep, he's a 6 threat, so he doesn't go really with the wider Criminal Syndicate strategy. But when I was playing Criminal Syndicate, I was playing every game with him because he was new at the time and he was very fun. And the thing that makes him so much fun is he's a 13 health. He has built to take it. So whenever he's targeted by an attack, he can use up his power, reduce the amount of damage by one, and then he can't be pushed by results of that attack. So keeps him alive for longer, helps him keep from being displaced. Unfortunately, it doesn't stop him from being like thrown or anything like that. He also has hit and run to pay two, so he can make an attack followed by a move action, which is great because he can do it every round, basically, if he doesn't have like poison or stun, because he gets two power each round. So like round one, depending on like if I'm playing, let's say like extremist consoles, he can be my last activation, move, hit and run to attack or to push someone off the extremist, and then basically take it over on his own. His spinder is also a really fun attack that I use way too much because it's fun.
It's a good spinder though.
Yeah, it's a great spinder. So pay three power, within range three, and roll eight dice. Target character is not gain damage or not gain power for damage dealt. Size four or less, if I deal damage, I can throw them away medium, and then explosive before damage is dealt. Other enemy characters than one suffer damage. Really fun. Getting the medium throw on a character is great for him. And then the other thing I really like with Hulkbuster is when he would flip like another character, he just becomes the Iron Man Hulkbuster, who is still six threat, five health, but he's healthy still. So you have a character who, whenever they flip, they're healthy on both sides, which is just fantastic for Kingpin's leadership. And then he has a range four push, the Rapid Repulsor Blast, guaranteed push, target away short, and you could potentially hit the Wild Rapid Fire. And so, I mean, you remember how nasty Medusa was with her rapid fire pushes. Iron Man Hulkbuster can do the same from range four if he hits the wild. So being able to potentially double push a character away if you hit the rapid fire is wonderful. I'd pretty much never have gotten to always have a backup to bring in a new Hulkbuster. But yeah, that's my thoughts on a fun out of affiliation piece. Maybe a little out of the norm, but that's what I like to do.
I like it. I mean, I think he's got displacement in spades. He's tough to kill. Like you said, if you do eventually kill him, then you got a healthy character coming out, and that character can displace. He's a tough. I think the biggest negative would be the sixth threat, because, you know, obviously Criminal Syndicate want bodies on the board because they count for two. Yeah. But, you know, they have Bullseye now in affiliation. So, I mean, you can still, even with Hulkbuster and all the three threats, you can still make it work. So, a lot to like with Hulkbuster in Criminal Syndicate. No doubt about that.
Yeah, he's, like I said, very fun. I'd recommend people give it a shot. And putting the Hulkbuster model on the table is a great way to draw eyes to the game. So always an added benefit there too.
You could just play all the models that you could do: Juggernaut, Hulkbuster, Crossbones, Kingpin, and then sneak Bullseye in there. And then you just play a list that gets to negate a damage every time it gets attacked.
Is that 20 points? Oh my gosh.
I think so.
Yeah, that is. That sounds real fun and real annoying. So, I like it.
Yep, a lot of displacement too. So,
yeah, what kind of objectives do you like playing with Criminal Syndicate?
So I think this is probably the most important part when you talk about Criminal Syndicate. Way more so than almost every affiliation in the game. There's a couple other affiliations that really like certain objectives. Web Warriors come to mind, but Criminal Syndicate is very, very strong on objectives that you can sit on and secure. So we're talking stuff like Infinity Formula. We're talking stuff like Scoundrels. The scenarios or the crisis that they don't like are the ones that you have to pay to flip, because their leadership doesn't count on those, because they're not contesting. So those are going to be the scenarios that they really like, stuff they can sit on, something like Extremists that they can sit on and heal. They're already tough characters. Those are really valuable. Again, you know, Criminal Syndicate is kind of the potato sitters. They want to get on a point. They want to count as two. They want to survive and kind of use control to kind of just consistently score points. They want to score points early and often. If you're a Criminal Syndicate, if you're playing against them or you're playing them and you are not ahead early or not, you know, outscoring your opponent in the first two or three rounds, you're in trouble, because Criminal Syndicate's biggest weakness is killing the opposing team. And then, of course, when they do get flipped, they lose that leadership. So it's really they really want secures and things that they can build an early lead on. Obviously, I think most people at this point know that they're very strong on Research Station, because it's an extract, but yeah, it's really a secure, and it's one where each one of them counts for two. Shadowlands Daredevil, now he counts as two. He's extremely tanky, and his grunt counts on one. So no, the grunt counts as one model, though. It does not count as two.
Correct.
But I mean, that's extremely powerful. So those are the big ones. Legacy Cure is an interesting one with them, because they can pass the cures around. So that's kind of a when you're playing into Criminal Syndicate, always got to be careful about that. So those are the main ones that I can think of.
Yeah, I want to touch on what you said about the flip secures, because I know that can be a pretty confusing thing. So Kingpin's leadership says each healthy allied character contesting an objective token counts as two healthy characters when determining who is securing the objective token. And if you read any of the flip secures, let's say I pull up Mutant Madman here. Roll dice equal to the interacting character's physical defense. If the roll contains more crit, wild, or hit results than the number of healthy characters contesting enemy character, or than the number of healthy contesting enemy characters, the interacting character's controlling player now controls the trap. So if you notice in there, in the Mutant Madman, it doesn't say anything about securing, which is when Kingpin's leadership would take effect. So that's why on things like flips, they still only count as one character, because you're not securing, you're just contesting.
Yep. Yeah, it's in my opinion, it's a it's not like, I mean, they still can play them and they can still do fine, but it certainly takes them their power level way down when you play them on a flip secure versus a non-flip secure.
Yeah, they just become a normal team at that point. Mm-hmm. But like you sort of said, things like Research Station or the superpowered Scoundrels, where there's lots of points to score on the board by contesting, the Criminal Syndicate generally likes. Although there's a few secures that there's some debate around. One of them being Gamma, and the other two being the Terrigen Clouds and the Mayor Fisk Witnesses. Gamma, people have, like, it's great that they can score or double count on those, but because it's so central, there's going to be a lot of easy attacks flying around. And sometimes, depending on what you're playing against, your Criminal Syndicate players will go down a little more quickly than you'd like on such a such a narrow secure. What do you think about Gamma with the Syndicate?
Yeah, so I've been on this boat for a long time now. In fact, all of this past season, it was Gamma was actually in my list, and one of the reasons was to counter Criminal Syndicate. I think Criminal Syndicate is a, or I think that Gamma, I'm sorry, is a counter to Criminal Syndicate. I think Criminal Syndicate does not want to play Gamma at all. Criminal Syndicate is not at its best when it's a brawl, and that's what Gamma is. It's a brawl. Everybody can attack everybody, and the problem is Criminal Syndicate characters are going to get flipped too quickly. Also, Kingpin is fairly easy to control in Gamma. If your opponent has any kind of control, they can kind of control Kingpin a little bit and then just kill the other models. And it's in my opinion, it's a counter. There's no doubt in my mind. I think, you know, watching in top cuts and things like that, the Criminal Syndicate players were losing on Gamma. And I just don't think it's very good for Criminal Syndicate at all.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see them being okay if someone else brings it, but I personally don't have it in my Criminal Syndicate list when I play them, just because, like you said, it's a brawl. I'd rather be able to control around that if at all possible.
It's the worst case scenario in a lot of aspects for Criminal Syndicate, because when you're playing against Criminal Syndicate, majority of the time you're going to bring so let's say you are playing Criminal Syndicate, they're sitting across the table. When you look at your roster, you want to bring whatever characters you have that can displace. Okay, that's the number one thing when you're playing Criminal Syndicate. Displacement, yep. Displacement, displacement. So Gamma is kind of takes what they don't like, and it kind of magnifies it because it makes it a brawl and a fight, so characters die quicker. So your characters still count the same, you know, when they die, whereas Criminal Syndicates lose their whole leadership. And then the second thing is if you're bringing characters with displacement, I mean, you just kill the characters who haven't activated and displace the characters that have activated, and Criminal Syndicates, and you know, they're sad, and you know, they're, we've already kind of pointed on that they're not great at brawling. They're, a lot of times they're tough, but their damage output is not really that high or that great, and a lot of them are power hungry, so a lot of them are looking for power. So, you know, I think Juggernaut may have opened this up a little bit, but, you know, Kingpin and Juggernaut's 9 points right there. That's kind of a lot on Gamma. So, I'm squarely in the Gamma is a counter to Criminal Syndicate, and I'm very firm in that belief.
Yes, I've seen that stance from you many times. What do you think about the Mayor Fisk and the Terrigen Clouds?
So I think they're good. I mean, I especially think that Mayor Fisk is good because 16 points is great for Criminal Syndicate. And I think it's a real good scenario. I think it's pretty easy to the first round, if not two rounds, go 4-0 on Fisk against your opponent. And you know, if you just pick up a couple extracts with that, I mean, you're going to have a pretty outstanding lead. I know a lot of people went away from playing maybe Fisk as much, but I'm still would solely on the Fisk bandwagon. I think they're really good at it, and it would be one of my crises if I was playing them in a tournament.
Yeah, I didn't do Fisk when I played in my tournament a few months back, but that's because I was playing Hulkbuster, and so I wanted the option for potentially 20 points Terrigen Clouds. Mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah, I don't think these are bad for either of them. I think what people's concern is when they play these two is the stun and poison effects getting placed on your team. Sure. But then at the same time, if they're getting placed on your team, then you are still contesting the objectives and not having to move your characters to chase it down. So I don't know. I see it as a lose win or a win lose in some ways. I don't know.
I mean, look, stun and poison are not powerful enough to deter me from, you know, scoring 4 points when my opponent's scoring zero every turn.
Yeah.
I just listened to Across the Bifrost episode on conditions, and it was a good episode, and you know, both of them said stun and poison were some of the weakest conditions, and I agree with them. I mean, yeah, it costs you power, but that, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, you know, they're going to be taking damage or they're going to win, right?
Yep.
So they're going to get some power from damage, or else they're just going to flat win the game, because there's no way. I mean, you have to kill them. I do like Fisk a little better than I like Terrigen Mist for them, just because 20 points is a lot. And your opponent can put a lot of killers on the board on 20 points. And, you know, so if you start losing characters on Criminal Syndicate, that's when they really get weak, in my opinion. So I like 16 more than I like 20. But yeah, I think both are strong. I think stun and poison are not enough of a deterrent that would deter me away when I know how strong my leadership is on those crises.
Yeah, I can see it. And I think on those, that's where you bring characters like Hood, who can help heal your characters if they're taking the extra ping damage from the clouds or the witnesses.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, we got a couple listener questions. Not too many, because we posted this very late notice. But before we jump into those, let's hear a word from our sponsors.
This show wouldn't be possible without the members of the Guild Hall and our sponsors, Tritex Games, based in the EU, and War Room Hobbies, based here in Tennessee. Both are great local gaming stores that have game nights and are supporting their local communities. So if you are shopping online, please consider using them as an option to support an LGS instead of a company like Amazon. And to help beat those prices, I have some codes that will save you even more off their already discounted prices. If you use the code TRITEXGGCP5 at checkout, you will save an extra 5% off from Tritex's MCP selection. And if you check out at War Room Hobbies, you can use the code MCP2022 for an extra 10% off of your order. And if you already are shopping from your LGS and are wanting to support the Guild's videos or podcast, check out our Patreon page. For as little as $1 a month or $12 a year, you help us continue to put out content for Marvel Crisis Protocol. All right, on to the listener questions. We have a question from our good friend Merzane. He says, how can you play Criminal Syndicate and make it appealing to new players and not kind of feel boring?
Yeah, that's a good question. They're probably, I mean, as far as like what people would consider boring affiliations, are probably like one of the top three listed, I would think. And I can see why. The way I played Criminal Syndicate, I felt like was not boring, because I was playing Hulkbuster, so I want to be doing attacks, doing a bunch of different things. So I think it really depends on like what kind of flavor you bring to the Criminal Syndicate. Like if you're bringing characters that displace on their attacks instead of just displace via throws, so you're just moving and throwing characters and scoring points, I think that can make a difference to making them feel more entertaining versus just feel like you're autopilot, move, throw, score points, next round.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, saying Criminal Syndicate is boring is subjective, right? I can tell you I played them for a season in TTS and I didn't find it boring at all. It's, you know, kind of a puzzle to score your points, keep your characters alive, kind of mitigate the displacement that your opponents are going to try to do. And I didn't find it boring at all. Like, yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily the affiliation that you want to just run and put in the middle of the table and roll a bunch of dice and try to kill stuff. But I mean, not everybody, I think, loves that aspect of the game. Everybody loves rolling dice to an extent, but some people enjoy the challenge of the puzzle or the control element, things like that. So, I mean, another way to play them that, in my opinion, is not necessarily boring is to play a wide list. Sure, you want to still, I mean, anytime you play Criminal Syndicate with Kingpin as your leader, your main goal is to score points. I mean, I think playing a wide list is fun. Trying to score your points, trying to have a lot of characters to activate and do stuff. I think that's, I think that would be a good way to kind of make them quote unquote not boring.
Yeah, I agree entirely. And yeah, it's really just kind of a mindset thing. I don't know. Like I said, I've found them somewhat boring at times, just depending on how people play them. But I mean, just like any affiliation and how you play it, like you can tweak it to match your play style more.
Mm-hmm. All right. We got a second question from Shadow Marvel, which is another good friend of the cast. Is Criminal Syndicate an affiliation that punishes new players but has less game into experienced players? It seems like we don't see much Criminal Syndicate rising to the top of any of the latest events. What do you think?
I can definitely see it being an affiliation that punishes newer players. Just because, like with the Ant-Man thing, there are some gotcha moments that you could potentially get with the leadership if someone's not paying attention to points or forgets about it or whatever. I know we had in our last tournament when I was playing Criminal Syndicate, I played against a guy who hadn't played in a few months. I thought he remembered the leadership and he did not. And so we were playing on Terrigen Mists. He committed all his characters to one side and I had two or three characters on that point, and I went up 7-1 round one or something like that. And he was not happy. I was kind of frustrated because I felt that, like, it was a tournament. I thought he knew about it. Like, it's not my job to, in that setting at least, to help explain things to him. But I think it can punish newer players in events if they're not prepared for some of the different things they can do as far as just loading up on points to continue to outscore you. As far as the not rising to the top of any of the latest events, I don't know. I think the meta right now is very, very brawly. And so you're getting a lot of slow points or slow scoring scenarios. You're getting a lot of brawly scenarios. And as we discussed, Criminal Syndicate doesn't love that. So I just don't know if it's their time to shine right now. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think I handle this in two parts, basically. I do think Criminal Syndicate can be brutal into new players, especially when they're very new. They don't really understand how important there's certain levels a player gets when they're kind of leveling up in Marvel Crisis Protocol. And when they're brand new players, they don't really understand how important a lot of times the scenario is and scoring points is. They kind of just want to roll dice and kill stuff. And Criminal Syndicate can just brutalize that if you're not playing it correctly. So I do think it is kind of a noob smasher, if you will. The second part of that, though, is I do think that Criminal Syndicate has a sneaky high top to them, what I mean by is I think very experienced players are going to play them at a much, much higher level. I know that kind of sounds counterintuitive. Of course, experienced players are going to play it at a higher level, but I think that knowing board position, where you need to move a certain model to a certain area, and that experienced players may have over not quite as experienced players, they're going to be able to brutalize Criminal Syndicate more than your average bear. So I think that, yes, it is tough on newer players. But that being said, I do think that, you know, when a new player is themselves playing Criminal Syndicate, I don't think it's going to be as easy or as brutal as when an experienced player plays them.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, and then the second part of the question is, I just think that you don't see a whole lot of Criminal Syndicate rise to the top on competitive events is because they're basically a one-trick pony. And most people are that are in the very competitive world of MCP are ready for that trick. And I think another thing is, you know, Criminal Syndicate is very susceptible to dice spikes, as everybody is. But, you know, like I said earlier, when they flip, they lose a leadership. When other models flip, they don't lose a leadership. So I think combination of a very rigid game plan, not being able to brawl or kill quite as well as other affiliations, and then being susceptible to, you know, some of their key people going down at key moments. I think it's a little harder. I think they're, you know, a very solid affiliation. I think they're, if you want to go to a tournament and do well, I think they're very good to do that. But, you know, making it to the top of the mountain peak, they may not be the best affiliation to do that. I see this in Black Order also. Everybody's so scared of Black Order. Black Order is kind of the same way. And I think really the main reasons why is because most competitive players are teched against these two affiliations. Most of them have tech in their rosters, because they're both very rigid game plans. So I don't think you see them on top as much, even though their brute can be brutal to play against. They're very rigid in their game plan, and if you're teched against that, it can be very difficult for those players.
Yeah, I didn't even think about how much people are potentially teching for this matchup, adding extra control in their rosters to mess with Kingpin and his cronies. So that makes sense.
Yeah, they rely a lot on priority too, especially with the way the new crisis are, because, you know, if you take some secures they don't like and you win priority, they only have a 33% chance to get research station. So yeah, I think that priority is a big deal also, which is another reason why sometimes you may not see them rise to the top, just because priority is probably a little more important for them than a lot of the other top affiliations.
Yeah, that too. Not having research station potentially 66% of the time and having it half that is not great for them. Mm-hmm. Well, I will say I was a little surprised Panther wasn't your out of affiliation choice. He's your boy and he fits with what they do well.
I can't just pick Panther for everything. You know, I gotta leave it up to some of my other boys like Ant-Man.
Yeah, I respect that. Well, cool. We do still need to do an end game. I guess for me, our last time we talked about Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness and how excited we were that it was coming out. And gotta say, I really enjoyed it. Not the best Marvel movie in the world, but my boy Strange did well. Did some magical shenanigans, and it was a good time. Always love going to actually see movies in the theaters. COVID made me miss that.
Yeah, no, it was good. I enjoyed it. I liked it a lot. I know it's a little controversial because, and we won't go into any spoilers, but it's just got some of that Sam, is it Raimi? I think his last name is Raimi.
Yeah.
It's just got a lot of his influence on it. If you know what kind of stuff he directs, but it was very good. I liked it. I liked it a lot. I thought it was the best Marvel movie, in my opinion, since Shang-Chi. So, or Shang-Chi, I guess is how it's said. If my 4-year-old son would correct me if he was here. But it was good. Very good. So.
Yeah. I'd recommend people go see it if they can. Understand if they're not wanting to go to theaters right now.
Yeah, we went and saw it on a Friday afternoon at 1:15 or 2 o'clock. I can't even remember. But it was us two and two other people in the entire theater. And this was on Friday. I mean, weekend it came out.
Jeez, that's awesome. I love it when movie theaters are pretty empty and you can experience the thing basically by yourself.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. So my end game. So I'm gonna phrase my end game a little differently. And so if anybody is a Patreon on our Gamers Guild Patreon Discord, they can kind of chime in on this and give me some recommendations, and you can too, or some other people. But I want to get a board game or two that, like, you know, me and my wife can play, or me and my wife and, you know, her sister and family can play. I know nothing about it, but I know Catan is kind of popular. But if you got a good game that would fit the bill of I can play with my wife or with a small group, that's very enjoyable, hit me up and let me know, because I'm looking to get some.
So I'm going to ask a follow-up question, because I think there's a plethora of board games out there. Mm-hmm. How casual do you think your wife is with board gaming? Because I run into this problem all the time with mine.
Yeah, I think she's going to be on the casual end. Like, I don't think she's going to want to play what is that? Battlestar Galactica or one of those that takes like 4 hours Haven. to play a game. I think she's going to want something a little more casual than that, but she's a smart lady. She doesn't want, you know, a Monopoly game. You know, she wants to actually be challenged. But, I mean, I don't think we really want games taking longer than probably 1 to 2 hours would be for the most part.
Okay. Well, we just picked up a game called Wingspan. And my wife is loving it, and she fits that sort of vibe where she doesn't want like the 3-hour campaign or whatever. She just wants something easy with some strategy to work around that's not too complex, but still complex enough. So I'd recommend Wingspan. Curious to see what other people recommend, because I'm always on the hunt for more board games as well.
Yeah, Wingspan. I'll take a look at it. Have you played Catan at all?
I have. That's what got me more into it. I enjoy Catan a lot. There's some decent expansions for it too that you can get. Not all of them are good. I'd say there's only two good ones, but there's like 5 expansions. So, I mean, 40% success rates. All right. I think Catan is a really good gateway board game, is the best way to describe it. Like, it's a step above Monopoly, step above, oh gosh, what else is in the Monopoly tier? I don't Risk. Even know. Yeah. I don't know. Risk is pretty can be pretty long.
I mean, it
takes
a long time to play Risk, right? Yeah, it definitely takes a long time.
Not too
time.
Complex, though. But yeah, it's probably a step above both of those. Resource management and strategizing your next moves and trading with other players, it gets to be pretty fun. And hopefully y'all don't like target each other, because I've learned that lesson. Don't target your wife in board games.
Well, I want to try to find a game that we could just play together, so two people, but also would be a very good like 3 or 4 or 5 person game too. So
yeah. I'll look through my collection and see if I have anything else and just message those to you. But for now, hope everyone enjoyed our episode on Kingpin and his cronies and some other friends he can bring in. And until next time, keep on gaming.